what is done out of love takes place beyond good and evil. That is really kind of the headline quote from Friedrich Nietzsche's Beyond Good and Evil, which of course is in some places chapters, but in some places just aphorisms like this, where he just puts out a saying and gives you a lot to think about. What is done out of love takes place beyond good and evil. And in this episode of the Tom Ritchie Podcast, I want to take this quote by Friedrich Nietzsche, and I want to look at it in terms of The Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. Now, of course, even if you haven't been watching The Mandalorian, certainly you've seen the Baby Yoda memes. Just a warning, this is going to contain some spoilers, so if you are planning to watch The Mandalorian in the near future, and you want to come back and listen to this some other time, then great. Some of you may have watched The Mandalorian in its entirety, season one just wrapped up, or some of you may not plan to watch it at all, and you just want to appreciate this philosophical look at a pop culture phenomenon. So with that, I just want to make sure that everybody's aware of that. So let's take a look at the child. Now, the internet has called him Baby Yoda. Now, of course, we know that Yoda is dead already, okay? It's not actually Baby Yoda. In the timeline, The Mandalorian takes place right after the fall of the Empire, but it's just without a name for this character, everybody's just like, Baby Yoda. And it's very mysterious because, you know, we knew that Yoda was 900 years old when he died. And then we see this 50-year-old being that is of the same mysterious species. Now, of course, in Star Wars, there are all kinds of species. You've got humans, you've got Twi'leks, you have the ancient Sith and Wookiees, a lot of different species out there, the Gungans, right? Oh my goodness, some that we'd rather not think about. But at the same time, they've got the Yoda species. Now, the Yoda species, quote unquote, it's never clearly identified. There is this air of mystery around it, and that's intentional. Now, one thing we do know, a couple things we know, is that they're carnivorous, and also that they tend to be extremely force-sensitive. There are some races in Star Wars that have a natural proclivity for using the Force, and the Yoda species seems like that. Now, we run into Baby Yoda as a 50-year-old child. Now, if you do the math and you think that, okay, Yoda lives like 10 times longer than your average human, more than 10 times longer, then we think about this is a child that's probably about 4 or 5. Some species age differently. And so as far as that goes, we've always wondered, who is Baby Yoda? Now, there was a disturbing kind of thing that happened at the end of Chapter 7. Of course, they're chapters, not episodes, right? Because that way they're going to get confused with the actual Star Wars episodes. So, at the end of Chapter 7, the 7th of 8 chapters in Season 1 of The Mandalorian, Baby Yoda, he used the Force, okay? He used the Force to not as he had before. Like, he used it a few times, but in this case, he used a controversial Force ability known as the Force Choke. Now, this is always known as a dark side ability. That Force abilities, typically in the Star Wars universe, they have either light side or dark side associations. And so we see Baby Yoda use this Force Choke, and suddenly the internet's like, who is he? Is he even a child, or is he pretending to be a child? Is he tempted by the dark side? That this cute little being, all of the sudden, because of this one thing that he does that is labeled as a dark side ability, people are asking these questions and people are panicking. Do I still want the plush toy? You know, that's one thing that people are wondering. Are we going to find out that he's evil because we've seen this? Now, all over a Force Choke. Now, enter Friedrich Nietzsche, the 19th century existentialist philosopher. And what we need to note about existentialism, and particularly Nietzsche, is when we think about existentialism, that philosophy before existentialism was preoccupied with the pursuit of truth. Now, of course, there are still branches of philosophy that are still occupied with the pursuit of truth, that the purpose of philosophy is to pursue truth, is to figure out right ideas. You look back at Plato's philosophy, and Plato's Republic explored the idea of justice. And also, when you look at the Crito, that's also this idea. If Socrates broke out of jail, would that be just? So the idea of justice that the classic Greek philosophy that we are familiar with tends to focus on ideas and the pursuit of right ideas versus wrong ideas. Now, when it comes to existentialism, it's all about subjectivity. That existentialism is about tackling problems of human existence. And so as far as that goes, when Nietzsche titles his book Beyond Good and Evil, what he's saying here is that we have invented good and evil. We designate actions as good or evil based on moral codes that we've invented. Another one of his works is called The Genealogy of Morals. So essentially, when we look at morality and what we think of as good and evil, we've made it up. And similarly, if you think about the idea of good and evil in our world, when you look at the Star Wars universe, you see this whole idea of the light side and the dark side of the Force. That your classic Star Wars conflict is the conflict between Jedi and Sith, between those who follow the light and those who follow darkness. And Star Wars characters have this association with them, that you are light or you are dark, you are friendly the Jedi or the Sith. Now, of course, in more recent Star Wars books and shows and the like, now, some of us watch the cartoons, which those of us who watch the cartoons were vindicated at the end of season one of The Mandalorian. I know that there are a lot of people that were thinking, whoa, what is that thing? And those of us who watch Clone Wars and Rebels are like, I know what that is. All right, so quit making fun of me for watching cartoons, people. So with that, we tend to think light or dark. But in more recent treatments, like for example in Rebels, we see that Ahsoka Tano has, even though she is serving the light, at the same time, you see this kind of gray element about her, that you see the existence of gray Jedi who reject this idea of just being loyal to one side of the Force. And so with that, you dig even deeper into Star Wars nerdism, and you see this group called Potentium. And this was a group of heretical Jedi, basically Jedi heretics, because you understand the Jedi Order is focused on serving the light side of the Force. Now, those who were part of this group Potentium, they said the Force exists. There is no light or dark side of it, that the user will make of the Force what they will. And so when you take a look at this mentality, is the light side made up? Is the dark side made up? And this is where we think about, it's much easier for us to say, for us to look at something, that's light, that's dark. We all want simple answers to our questions. The human mind tends to appreciate binary choices. So it is easier for us to look at a Force choke and say, that is a dark side ability, because it's really Darth Vader's signature move, that he takes his thumb and his index finger and puts them together, and all of a sudden there is somebody who is several feet away that's like, oh my goodness, I'm coughing, okay, all that. I tell you, choking can be kind of hard on the throat, even when you're pretending to do so. So we see a Force choke, and we think, dark. Even though we don't necessarily think that when a Jedi cuts someone in half or something like that, right? We don't think, whoa, that was dark. It's just, okay, that's what Jedi do. They cut people in half with their lightsabers. You think about Obi-Wan Kenobi at the end of episode 3, I have the high ground! And then he cuts like 3 of Anakin's limbs off, I guess technically Vader by then. we see Obi-Wan Kenobi cut off three limbs, and it's like, well, he's just being a Jedi. And then we see Baby Yoda force choke someone, and people are like, oh my goodness, that's so dark. Now, we've also seen the force choke used by people other than Vader. Now, of course, Anakin Skywalker, who was a Jedi. For those of you who watch the Clone Wars cartoons, probably very few of you, but there are times where you see Anakin Skywalker using the force choke. Now, one way you can interpret this is that, okay, Anakin is slowly falling toward the dark side, but then at the same time, we're looking at those instances with the future in mind. Just because Anakin force chokes some separatist, does that really mean that he's being evil? Did he have a motivation for this that was good? For example, when a prisoner's not talking and somebody is going to be hurt or killed as a result? Did his victims deserve it? Was he acting with a good motivation? But then again, where you look at Nietzsche and it's like, what is good? What is evil, right? But as far as that goes, if Anakin had never gone on to become Vader, then we'd excuse it. We'd say he had good intentions. That seems a little dark, but okay. Now, another thing to note is, even if you think, okay, Anakin was becoming evil, Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi used a force choke when he's going into Jabba's place. So with that, we see even with Luke Skywalker in Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, he's wearing black. And this is something that really kind of blurs the line between the light and the dark. And this is where we have to ask ourselves through an existentialist lens, are the light and the dark just something that we've made up? So that's something to think about. Now, back to Baby Yoda, the child. And let's think about this as far as that goes. If we're to calculate Baby Yoda's age, 50 years, but he could live 900 years, then what we're going to see here is that he's about 4 years old in his brain, okay? And so we take that, we do the math. He's got the brain of about a four-year-old, which he doesn't even really have spoken language yet. Now, we also have to remember that he hasn't received the most stable upbringing, that when he's found, he was in a den of iniquity somewhere, right? So as far as that goes, he's probably been in the hands of the Empire at some point. No one's really explained to him, this is light or this is dark. He hasn't been socialized. He hasn't really had the chance to develop a meaningful superego. That when we consider this, good and evil have to be taught to us. When you go into Freudian psychology and you take a look at that, that you learn over time, this is good, this is evil. No, you can't be with your mother as a romantic partner. Sorry, society is never going to accept that. That's Freudian psychology for you, right? That the superego represents this learning that society is teaching us what is good and what is evil. Now, what society does not have to teach us is love. And this is where, when we look at Nietzsche's quote, what is done out of love takes place beyond good and evil. That good and evil are made up. They are taught. They are different to different people. They are subjective. Now, love is something that all of us know. It is something that naturally occurs. It is something that exists. And that's what we really have to take into account here. And let's think about who Baby Yoda is. For all practical purposes, Baby Yoda is a Mandalorian foundling, that Mando has found him, and he's decided that Mando is his friend, that he decided that I'm going to use the Force to protect my friend who has protected me. When we think about at the end of Chapter 2, when Mando is fighting the Mudhorn, then we see that Baby Yoda used the Force for the first time, just so much that he's got these abilities, but he doesn't really understand them yet, and it puts him out. But he did it to save his friend. And so we see that the two of them have protected each other, that there is a loving bond between the two of them. And so in Chapter 7, he sees Mando in what adults would see as a friendly arm wrestling contest, but for Baby Yoda, he's looking at what's going on here. And it looks like his friend's in trouble. And so Baby Yoda has this concerned look in his eyes. When you look at the scene, his eyes just radiate this concern and compassion. And all of a sudden he's thinking like, what do I do about this? I've got to help him. He's struggling. And so what does he do? All of a sudden you see his hand moving, and then his eyes go almost like, I mean, it really does kind of look dark, but he starts to force choke Kara. And then everybody realizes what's going on. She suddenly stops arm wrestling, and then she recovers and she says, that's not okay. Okay, so what Kara has done is she has labeled the action. That action is evil. This is not okay. You cannot do this. What we tell children all the time, no, no, no. And so the action has been labeled. And once the action has been labeled as not okay, we begin to label the person. We begin to question the integrity of the being who has acted in a way that we have labeled as evil. Now, let's then look at how Mando addresses this force choke incident. That Mando grabs Baby Yoda, like picks him up and shakes him a little bit to get him kind of out of his force choke trance. And he says, we're friends. We're friends. Kara is my friend. Now, Mando is not speaking to Baby Yoda as your actions were evil, but look, your actions are loving. I understand that, but you need to understand that she is my friend. He recognizes this as a loving act from a child whose superego is still under development. So what we need to understand from an existentialist perspective is that Baby Yoda's force choke exists. The value of that action is a subjective matter for all of us to determine. So when we see here that Baby Yoda, going to the season finale of The Mandalorian, he redirects a fireball from an Imperial flame trooper and just burns him up, Baby Yoda used the Force to protect his friends. Now, when we look at the Force choke, the actions might have been different, but the motivation behind them was the same, that both of these were loving acts intended to protect friends. Now, when he redirected that fireball, nobody thought like, that is evil. That's really right up there with Obi-Wan Kenobi cutting off three of Anakin's limbs. And nobody thought, oh, that was kind of dark side-y, wasn't it? That we see here that in all cases, every time Baby Yoda uses the Force, he is doing so out of love to protect his friends. And that brings us back to Nietzsche's quote here. What is done out of love takes place beyond good and evil. Remember, from that perspective, from Nietzsche's perspective, good and evil are made up. What is important, what is truly real, is love. And people do all kinds of things for love, don't they? And that's not something I'm going to go into right now, but perhaps some other time. And I want to thank you for listening and for telling your friends about this podcast and for your support in general. It is always a pleasure.